A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept, because it neither sees nor knows him. But you know him, because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live and you will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, let me say how good it is to see all of you who are here in church today. I thank you for being here. And today we also unite ourselves in prayer to those who could not be with us in person, but who are certainly with us in spirit. You know, here at Sacred Heart of Jesus Church, we're blessed with a very large church. And wouldn't it be wonderful if one day soon this church were to be filled with parishioners and friends? When you think about it, though, this church is just an outward sign of God's house, his kingdom, his divine heart. And as we look around us and see all the empty spaces and the roped-off pews, we naturally long for the day when this church will be filled once again. No doubt it's a good reminder to us of the deep longing which exists in the heart of God. For more than anything, God desires that his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, be filled to overflowing with his children. Our Lord Jesus has opened wide his Sacred Heart as a refuge for sinners. And maybe, just maybe, phase one of our reopening, which includes the celebration of the Mass in public after what seems a very long 8 weeks, maybe this will be a new beginning for us, a time of spiritual renewal and purification and repentance from sin, a time to grow deeper in our love for God and our devotion to our Lord's Sacred Heart. You know, it's providential that we gather for the first weekend of Masses in public in this month of May. May, of course, is the month in which we celebrate motherhood, and above all, the motherhood of Mary, who is our mother and the mother of God. We've placed the crowned image of Our Lady of Fatima here in the sanctuary today, not only because May is the month of Mary, but also because on Wednesday of this week, we celebrated the feast day of Our Lady of Fatima. On the 13th of May, in the year 1917, which was 103 years ago, Our Lady appeared to three young shepherd children of Fatima in Portugal to convey three important messages from God, which were meant for the whole world. And today, for a few moments, I would like to reflect with you on these three messages of Our Lady, because these messages are just as urgent, perhaps even more urgent for the world today than they were for the world of 103 years ago. The first message has to do with the eternal consequences of the choices and the decisions that we make in the course of our earthly lives. There's a pervasive sentiment in the world today, and it's been around for a very long time now, which says that if there is life beyond this world, then everyone either goes to heaven, to a state of eternal bliss, or else everyone gets a second or a third, even a fourth chance to come back to earth after they die until they get it right. And this, of course, is not what our Lord Jesus teaches us. Jesus teaches us that we have but one life to live. And when this life is ended, we are judged by God, either to spend eternity with him or apart from him. When the Blessed Mother appeared to the three shepherd children of Fatima, they were just 7, 9, and 10 years old. And yet, despite their tender age, she showed them a vision of hell. Our Lady told the children that hell does indeed exist. And she showed them a vast number of souls who go there of their own accord to a place of darkness and torment, there to dwell forever apart from God. In fact, Our Lady begged the children to pray the rosary each and every day and to offer penance and sacrifice for sinners. Because, she said to the children, many souls are lost because there is no one to pray for them nor offer sacrifices for them. How important that we ourselves be converted and pray. The second message that Our Lady shared with the three children was that a great lie was spreading throughout the world in 1917. Beginning in Russia, socialist revolutionaries were proclaiming a new creed, which said, this world is all there is. God does not exist, and man does not possess an immortal soul. Therefore, the Christian faith must be wiped off the face of the earth, and the Church of Christ must be destroyed. Private property must become the property of the state, which must reign supreme. And even the structure of marriage and family life must be radically altered and reformed. Our Lady warned that if man did not repent and turn to God, this lie would spread throughout the world. And the world itself would be plunged into a war much more terrible than the one that was about to end. 20 years later, that prophecy became true. And tragically today, we see the lie of communism and atheism spreading like a virus all across the world. The third message of Fatima is still very much the subject of debate today. Certainly, it has to do with the persecution of the church and the escalating persecution of faithful Christians throughout the world. It also has to do with the attempt on the life of St. Pope John Paul II at the hands of a communist agent on the feast day of Our Lady of Fatima, May the 13th, 1981. And yet many also believe that the third message prophesies a time of doctrinal and moral error and confusion and apostasy within the church herself, a time when false teachers and unbelieving priests and bishops will lead many of the faithful astray. Tragically, we see this happening in the church and in the world today. For more than 2 months now, our country and our world has been battling an invisible enemy, the coronavirus. Today, on your behalf, I would like to express our humble thanks to the doctors and nurses and healthcare workers, the first responders and grocers, and the leaders of nation and state who have sacrificed even to the point of risking their own lives to preserve and protect our public safety and health. They have done a good job. But the church has a different mission. While the church must do all that she can to preserve and protect human life in this world, the church, above all, must be concerned with the true worship of God, faithfully teaching the gospel of Christ and working tirelessly for the salvation of souls. For what the scripture calls the second death, namely eternal loss of salvation, is far worse than the first death, that is, death in this world. And the truth is, as bad as the coronavirus is, it is not an invisible enemy. It's a tiny microbe, and while it can't be seen by the naked eye, it can be detected under a microscope. But make no mistake about it, we do have an invisible enemy, one that is entirely spiritual in nature, a highly intelligent and resourceful enemy who is bent on the loss and the destruction of our souls. And this is why Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul in Gehenna." In the Gospel today, our Lord makes a promise. He promises the disciples that when he returns to heaven, he will ask the Father to send another advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with us always. He says to them, "Being the Spirit of truth, he will lead you to all truth. The world will not accept him," Jesus says, "but you will accept him because you know him and because he will be in you." Today, I invite you to pray the novena to the Holy Spirit over the 9 days that will begin this Friday, May 22nd, until Saturday, May 30th, which is the eve of Pentecost. You will find the novena in this week's bulletin, which you can take home with you today, and you'll also find it on our parish website. The Spirit of God is infinitely more powerful than the one who is the enemy of our souls. The Spirit is the one whom our Lord breathed into the souls of his apostles on the day that he rose from the dead. The same Spirit who filled the soul of Mary from the very first moment of her conception, who took her as his spouse when the angel appeared to her and she said yes to God's plan. We ourselves have received the Spirit of God. And yet, each day of our lives, we must remain faithful to God and say yes to the Holy Spirit. I conclude today with a prayer that was given to the children of Fatima by an angel who visited them 1 year before the Blessed Mother appeared. The angel, known as the Angel of Peace, first gave the children their first Holy Communion as a gift from heaven. And then he taught them to pray the beautiful prayer which we now pray. "My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. I ask pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you. Amen."